Leviticus chapter 25 and verse number 10 says, "Proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all the inhabitants thereof." This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and this is Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. We are located on Baird's Creek Road just above the Willow Creek Golf Course, 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. We'd love to invite you to come out to be with us in any or all of our services. We have Sunday morning Sunday school for all ages at 10 a.m., our Sunday morning worship service at 11 a.m., and then on second and fourth Sunday nights, we have our 6 p.m. Sunday night service where we have a preaching service. Many times we have missionaries in to share their work, or we might have a young preacher or a guest preacher, and we really enjoy that as well, or I might bring the message as well. This Wednesday night, though, I want to make an announcement for those. Sometimes we have people who visit on Wednesday nights who maybe are not members, and so they wouldn't be there on Sunday mornings, but this Wednesday night, we're going to move our midweek Wednesday night service to the Vilas Valley Baptist Church, and that's located just off of Vanderpool Road in Vilas. And that meeting starts at 7 o'clock. I'm helping over there in revival this week, and we've had a great time so far. And I would certainly invite you to come out and be with us tonight as well. Vilas Valley Baptist Church, the service starts at 7 o'clock, and prayer room is about 20 till. And we've just had a good time in the Lord, and we're praying for revival in our county. We need revival. I've talked about that a whole lot on this radio broadcast. The great thing that happened, the greatest happening that happened, I hate to call it a thing, but was the Great Awakening that took place just prior to the American Revolution. Without the Great Awakening and the uniting of our nation under God, we'd have never had the American Revolution, never been successful in that. So that was the jumping off point. I think a good word for that would be the impetus that put us into the right frame of mind and heart to have freedom in our nation. And so we're thankful for our religious liberties that we have. We're thankful for our revival heritage that we have. And this is the Blessings of Liberty, and I'm thankful for the liberty that we have. And so we want to invite you out to that. Noah, it's good to see you today. I hope you're doing all right.
Yes, I am. It's good to be here this morning. And you wanted me to remind you about those letters we got from the listeners.
Yes, today. I did want to say, and I don't put a great deal of emphasis on that, but we do have listeners that write in or call from time to time, and we certainly appreciate that. We had a nice letter last week from over in Kingsport from one of the listeners on WZAP, and they said they listen in to the radio broadcast. And then we had a letter from Pennsylvania, and a man had heard the radio broadcast on the church website, and they have a shortwave radio station and had invited us to, was interested on us being on their radio station. And shortwave goes into lots of different countries. It depends on where it's situated at, but he said they had gotten letters from over 120 different countries. And then we've had calls from local listeners, and I do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners and you corresponding with us. We love to hear from you, and we appreciate that. Now, I want to get into the broadcast today. For the past 3 weeks, we've been looking at what the Bible says about homosexuality. And I'm not trying to be controversial or hateful in doing this or condemning or anything like that. I'm just trying to be truthful. That's my desire, to be truthful from the Word of God. I really despise, I guess that's a good word to use, I despise to hear somebody say, and it don't matter which side you're on, the Bible says, and not really tell us what the Bible says. If you are just saying the Bible says and you don't really know what the Bible says, you might be right and you might be wrong. We need to know what the Bible says. This is what our nation's laws were founded upon was the laws of the Bible. Our nation was founded upon the Word of God. That is undeniable. If you study our history, if you look at our monuments, if you look at quotes from our past presidents, God has had His proper place in our nation from the very beginning. Many in our nation believe right along with the Bible, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Now, if we go changing the foundational structure of our society, we'd better really look hard at this and why we're doing. And so, since our nation's laws were based upon the Bible, and God has blessed our nation so much over the past 200 plus years, before we start changing and doing away with the God of the Bible and the Word of God, we need to really know what the Bible says and what God says will happen as a result of that. So that's what we've been looking at. It does have a significance in our study that we normally do, talking about the blessings of liberty in our nation and being based on the Bible and things of that nature. Week number one and number two, we spent in Genesis chapter number 19 talking about the biblical account of Sodom and Gomorrah, what actually happened when God destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And we spent 2 weeks over there. Sodom and Gomorrah is referred to at least 16 different times in the books of the prophets. I'm talking about Ezekiel, Isaiah, those books in the Bible, the prophets. And let me tell you, there's not anything good to say about imitating the sins of Sodom and Gomorrah. 6 times Sodom and Gomorrah is referenced to in the Gospels, and once again, it's not recommended. It's always in a negative light. Last week, that was the third week, we had looked at this. We looked at Leviticus chapter 18 and verse number 22. This is probably the most famous passage of Scripture in the Bible concerning the subject of homosexuality. It's quoted by Christians. It's condemned by those who do not agree with it by simply saying, well, that's under the law, and we don't go that by that anymore. But we looked at the verses before and after, and we found out in Leviticus chapter 18 and verse 22, God said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. And God said in the first part of the chapter, there were some things not to do, there were some things to do, and there were some things if you do, He said in verse number 5, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. God said, if you listen to me, you'll live. If you don't, He said in verse number 3, if you do after the doings of the land of Egypt wherein ye dwell, shall ye not do. And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. And we're going to look on down today in the verses after that. After God said, thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind, it is abomination. In verse 23, He said, neither shalt thou lie with beast. Shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down thereto. It is confusion. And we talked about that a great deal last week, about what the Bible says about it being confusion. And since I started doing this study, I've found out several disturbing things that are going on in our nation that really we need to be aware about and we need to know about, and those things that are wrong we need to stand up against. One thing I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned a story. It was on Fox News, and it was about a little boy. He lives in California. He has two mommies. According to the article, they are lesbians, and he is confused about his gender and what they are doing. They're giving him hormone-blocking drugs. He's 11 years old. His name's Tommy. They call him Tammy. He's confused about his gender. They're giving him hormone-blocking drugs to give him time to decide, to keep him pre-pubescent is what they call it, to keep him to not have puberty until he can decide if he wants to be a boy or if he wants to be a girl. Well, that was in the news just a few weeks ago. It was actually October the 17th. And since that time, I have found out that this is not an isolated incident in our country. There is definitely a trend of transgender confused children in America. And there are groups that help these children. There are groups that are advocates for these children. And I'll tell you, if we don't get our moorings right in this country, there's going to come a day where well-meaning adults will go up to children, little children, and say, converse with them and say, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up, a boy or a girl? And that's where this thing is headed in our nation. And why, of course, somebody, a little child that is a boy and has two mommies, he doesn't have a father figure in his life, of course he's going to be confused about his gender. I read this 2 days ago, 2 or 3 days ago, I believe it was, and in Colorado, this was on October the 26th, there was a story came out that the Girl Scouts had allowed a 7-year-old boy to join the Girl Scouts. And at first, the reason it even came out in the news is because at first, the Girl Scout leader had said that this boy could not join the Girl Scouts because he had little boy parts. Well, the higher-ups got involved in it, and they said, no, that's not the policy of the Girl Scouts. If this little boy is living as a girl, and if he is presented by the family as a girl, then he is open and welcome to come and to join the Girl Scouts. And so I found several things along those lines. These are things we ought to be concerned about. We're talking about children here and them growing up and functioning in society. There's confusion among the children, and how sad that is. There's confusion in our own government. The military, for example, has recently flung its doors wide open to homosexuality. It used to be that it was not allowed. Now, that was pre-1993, and then from 93 to 2011, it was don't ask, don't tell, and now it's wide open. You can be an open homosexual and serve in the military. And the attitude from the higher echelon in the military is, if you're against it, well, you can just get out. For example, there's Lieutenant General Bostic. He is the Army's deputy chief in charge of personnel, and he made a speech last year in September in Germany. And while he was over there, he said some things talking about the new gay army. That's how the article was entitled. And he said this. He said, those serving who oppose the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender agenda are no longer welcome. He said those who oppose it, whether it's on religious grounds or moral grounds or whatever, he said they can either get with the program or they can get out of the military. And he likened them unto being racist and those who were against civil rights for black people back in the 60s. And of course, when he was called on that, did he really say those things? Now, the official, I forget which website I found it in, but the federal government, they came out and he said, oh, no, I didn't say those things. They were taken out of context. But the Washington Times had several articles along those lines. Did he say it? Didn't he say it? And there were over 500 people there, and there were a lot of letters saying, yes, that's exactly what he said. And Lieutenant General Bostic and the other higher-ups there that were conducting the lecture, I guess it was, said that their attitude was very condescending towards anybody that stood up and said, in fact, there was a black man stood up and he said, I'm a black man serving in the military. He said, and I am opposed, I am offended that the homosexual agenda would be compared to civil rights. And so there were several things along those lines. But the military, what's going to happen? What about the Christians in the military? What about the chaplains in the military that are against and that believe that homosexuality is a sin? What you're going to have there is a reverse discrimination. You know, if you don't like it, you can get out. Forget about what you think. Forget about how you feel. And so the military has opened up its doors and said, all right, you can be this way. and serve in the military. Yet, on the other hand, in the federal government, our government is officially supposed to abide by what is called the Defense of Marriage Act. In 1996, in our government, Congress passed a law. The Defense of Marriage Act is what it's called. You can look it up and study it out for yourself. The Defense of Marriage Act is this. It bars federal recognition of same-sex marriages. The federal government does not recognize same-sex marriages. But our federal government does not even agree with itself. On one hand, you have the military saying, yes, it's okay. On the other hand, you have the official law of the land, no, it's not okay. And what that causes in our nation is much confusion. What happened as soon as the military opened and said, okay, it's all right now, they begin to go, the homosexuals, many in the military, went to the chaplain and said, we want to apply to get married. Well, the chaplain, many of the chaplains, they're opposed to that. They're not for that. You can only be a chaplain in the military if your home church or your denomination sponsors you to be in the military. And so what they've said is, well, if the chaplains don't agree, they can get out. They're going to have to get with the program. And so these are things that we need to look at in society. This is what's going to happen, and it's going to be more and more confusion. I have also noticed this in studying about this subject. There are more and more favorable media stories towards polygamy. Now, this is another thing that's going to come in our country. And, you know, North Carolina this May is going to vote on a similar thing for revising our Constitution. I believe it's 37 states now already have laws enacted concerning this subject. And North Carolina is going to vote on it this coming May. And I've noticed that there's this favorable representation in the media of polygamy. There's a show on TV, I think it's the Learning Channel, TLC, and it's called Sister Wives, and it's about this. He's a fundamentalist Mormon. He has four wives. Their 17th child has just been born, and they're presenting this in a very favorable light. I seen a segment on a morning show just a few weeks ago about a reporter that had went out, spent a few days with this family, and this wife, she had actually picked out the man's other wife, and the reporter on the Good Morning Show or whatever it was saying, you know, I'm really surprised how good they get along and what a solid family. And she was, you know, she was really speaking favorably of polygamy. Now, I'm against polygamy. There are polygamists in the Bible, but God never sanctioned polygamy. He allowed it in the Old Testament times, but God didn't make Adam and Eve and Martha, and, you know, he didn't give Adam seven wives. He gave Adam one wife, and I'll not get all into that today, but I say that to say this. If homosexual marriage is recognized in the United States of America, then the polygamists in our country certainly have a good argument to come along and say, well, if they're allowed this, then we should be allowed this. You see, that is now against the law in the United States of America and has been for over 100 years. And there's a history concerning the Mormon church when it first started, and they believed in polygamy, and that's why they ended up in Utah. The laws of the land was against it, and there's a long story there. I'll not get into that. But the polygamists will say, well, if it's all right for them, it ought to be all right for us. There's another group that I've known about for many years now. It's called NAMBLA. NAMBLA means the North American Man-Boy Love Association. The Wikipedia website says that it is a pedophile and pederasty advocacy group in the United States that works to abolish age of consent laws criminalizing adult sexual involvement with minors. Now, pederasty is a word that we don't hear very often, but it means this. It is an intimate relationship between an adult and an adolescent boy, a man and a boy. And so this is referred to in the Bible. The ancient Greeks, they practiced this form of homosexuality where a man would keep a boy for sexual purposes. It's referred to in the Bible in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9 when it says, it's talking about those who will not inherit the kingdom of God. And it says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind." Now, the abusers of themselves with mankind is a reference to sodomy or homosexuality. The effeminate that comes before that, if you look that up in the Greek language, is figurative of what is called a catamite. A catamite is a word that we're not familiar with in this day and time, but a catamite is an old word. If you look it up in the Webster's Dictionary, an 1828 dictionary, it just says this: a boy kept for unnatural purposes. And the Webster's 1828 dictionary has this definition for sodomy. It says, a crime against nature. Now, the North American Man Boy Love Association, they do not want marriage to be legalized between an adult male and an adolescent boy. That is not what they're all about. I went to their website and did some research into this. What they want is tolerance of their lifestyle. And so if homosexual marriage is recognized and condoned and all of these things, then they're going to come along with the polygamist and they're going to say, you know, if they have their way and they have their way, we ought to have our way as well. And I went to the NAMBLA website. Now, the official NAMBLA, you can study this out for yourself if you want to, but it's capital N-A-M, and it has a little B and a capital L and a capital A. And they say that that is representative. The M, the capital M, represents an adult man. And the little B represents a little boy. And I went to that website and I began to do some research about that. But you know what I did? I stopped. Because I'll tell you, as a Christian, have you ever been somewhere where you felt like you just didn't need to be? That grieved your spirit so much, and maybe you felt like that you were in the very presence of evil. That's how I felt about that when I just seen the beginning of it, and I thought, oh Lord, there's some things I don't want to know any more about. You know, somebody might think that I am antagonistic or hateful towards homosexuals, but years ago when I pastored another church, we used to go to the prison and minister and preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to those men in prison. They need to hear about the Lord as well. There was always a section we would go to, a part of the prison that is actually a prison unto itself to keep this part away from what they call the general population. And we would go down there to that unit and preach to those men. And what we found out after a while is those men down there in that other unit, they were pedophiles, they were child molesters, they'd raped children, and they had to be kept separate from the other population. There were a lot of homosexuals down there. They had to be kept separate because the men in the general population would kill those other men. You know, you might have one fellow over here, he robbed a bank, but he's still a daddy, and he still has children, and he loves them, and he knows, even though he's a hardened, failing criminal, that there's some things that ought not to be allowed. And so they have to keep them separate. Let me read something to you. My goodness, time is going to get gone. There's something that I came across years ago, and I'd actually forgotten about it, but one of our listeners sent me a copy of what is called the Prophetic Observer. This is an 88-year-old preacher. I believe he's in the state of Oklahoma that's still standing for the truth. And he had an article about this, and he gave a section. The Gay Manifesto came out in 1987. It came out in the Gay Community News, February 15th, 1987. It was authored by the pen name Michael Swift. And it says this, the Gay Manifesto. Now, let me just read this. Some in the homosexual community, they say there's nothing to that. It's satire. It's not meant to be taken seriously. But let me just read this. Now, when it came out, I remember shortly after that, it was taken seriously. But anyway, time's going to run out. Let me just read this and see if this has not happened in our society in the last 25 years. It says this, we shall sodomize your sons, emblems of your feeble masculinity, of your shallow dreams and vulgar lies. We shall seduce them in your schools, in your dormitories, in your gymnasiums, in your locker rooms, in your sports arenas, in your seminaries, in your youth groups, in your movie theater bathrooms, in your army bunkhouses, in your truck stops, in your all-male clubs, in your houses of Congress, wherever men are with men together. Your sons shall become our minions and do our bidding. They will be recast in our image. And I'll tell you, when I was growing up, my generation, well, we put a big emphasis on a man looking like a man. None of us wanted to look like a girl. We didn't want to be called sissy or effeminate or anything like that. And boys aspired to be men. Now, not so much. You look around, go to the wherever young people are together. They said in the Gay Manifesto, they will be recast in our image, talking about young men. They will come to crave and adore us. It went on and it said, all laws banning homosexual activity will be revoked. Instead, legislation shall be passed which engenders love between men. All homosexuals must stand together as brothers. We must be united artistically, philosophically, socially. It goes on down. I'm not going to read all this. Another thing it says, the family unit, spawning ground of lies, betrayals, mediocrity, hypocrisy, and violence will be abolished. The family unit only dampens imagination and curbs free will, must be eliminated. And that's all I have time to share with that. But has that not happened in our country in the last, say, 25 years? Businesses have sensitivity training. Schools have gay pride days. On the television, every show that comes out from Hollywood has its own favorite homosexual on it or somebody as a contestant. It's now open to the military. Do you know the government, the Department of Justice, which is supposed to defend the Defense of Marriage Act, the Department of Justice has a DOJ Pride website. You can go there and find that yourself. It says that it's an organization for gay, lesbian, and bisexual and transgendered employees at the U.S. Department of Justice. That's your tax dollars at work right there. Do you think there could be a Department of Justice for Christ.org and it be being paid for by the Department of Justice, your tax dollars? No, sir. The atheist would cry out. The humanist would cry out. The lawyers would cry out. No, sir, that would never be allowed. But you go look it up on your computer, and you'll find out there is a Department of Justice Pride.org website committed to supporting BGLT people that work at the Department of Justice. The CIA also has a website. That's your tax dollars at work. Leviticus chapter 18. I've not even gotten into the New Testament yet, but Brother Rick Cornejo is going to be with us, Lord willing, next week on the radio broadcast in honor of Veterans Day. So we'll take a little break from this subject. But read Leviticus chapter number 18. God said, if my people do this, he said in verse 30, therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. God gives very specific reasons why we're not to be involved in these things. And I've said this before. Oh, how we need to be aware of what's going on in our society, because if marriage is changed from one man and one woman, then it will be changed to anything under the sun. This is worth fighting for. This is worth believing in and standing up for. If Christians don't stand up in these last days, we're doomed. And it's our own fault. Thank you for listening. Noah's going to give you the contact information. Hope you have a great day. God bless you.
This has been Blessings of Liberty with Pastor Wayne Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. If you'd like to reach us, our church phone number is 828-963-4596. That's 828-963-4596. Or you can reach us through our church website at mountlebanonbc.org. That's mtlebanonbc.org.